We all went to Maher Mount outside of Los Angeles with Baba on the 56th trip, and it was a great time. And you might have heard some of the stories about that, but one of the interesting things was I just came across one of my old notes about it that I had forgotten, and that was when Baba, we were with Baba in the house, in the rooms there, and then he said to go out, and I have the direct quote. As far as I know, it's exactly what he said. Now go out and see the view and try to love Baba through nature. This is all due to my love. This whole creation, this nature, all the beauty you see, all come out of me. And so we did that. We went out over Maher Mount and we walked around and we looked out and we tried to do that. And I was standing out there looking out. And then after a while, Baba came out of the house and he came right up to where I was standing. And it was just a special moment for me. Each person, I think, has had very special little things like that where Baba kind of said, yeah, I know what you're thinking and I know how you feel. We also did other things with Baba, like going to the ice follies, to plays and to shows. And we went to the Lilliput Theater in San Francisco and watched Midsummer Night's Dream. And my mother has a nice story connected with that. We also went to Muir Woods with Baba. Before we went to Muir Woods, B. Dimple had invited our family to go to Muir Woods. There was one day in the middle of interviews and all of the things that went on where Baba said, this is a free day and you can all go out and do something, whatever. And so this is the day we went to Muir Woods with B. And we loved it. We went down the winding road and everything, and we walked around and we saw this huge, huge old sequoia tree there, and my mother was quite taken with this tree. And so when we got back, she told Baba about this tree and about the Muir Woods and everything, and she's always very exuberant about it, and she thought it was just so wonderful and everything, and she told him all, and he said, oh, we should go there. Mm-hmm. And so a trip was arranged and we all went to Muir Woods. And before I continue with that, I want to say that when we came back from the first trip to Muir Woods and came back to the Holiday Lodge, Baba was about to go somewhere. And he was already in the car. And apparently we had missed out on some chance to be with Baba. And Baba makes it up to you when you've missed out on what he's been giving the others. And he had us lean over into the car. And when he had me lean over into the car, real close to him, he pinched my cheeks hard and it hurt. It's just really cute, you know. It's just very human. So then we went to Muir Woods with Bob and we all strolled around the walkways and the paths through the woods, and the children hopping around and skipping and dancing and hugging him, and it was a delightful time with him. And Baba went up to the big, great big tree and he sat under it, and just like the Buddha. And it was a delightful afternoon with Baba. There were other afternoons like that. It's like going to Brook Green Gardens and trailing around the paths all through with Baba. It's always an adventure. It's like going, you can compare it to the spiritual path, following Baba around like that. He knows where he's going, And all we have to do is follow along. And then he sat down under a tree, and I forget what was said, and you'll see pictures in the Parvardhagar movie where he's doing these you know, little things. That's where that's taken. Let's see. Oh, there's another time I'm talking about not missing out. Back to Myrtle Beach in 1958 in Baba's house in the mornings. We were cleaning up, and this one morning Billy and Ella had finished making Baba's bed in his bedroom, and we're on our way through the hallway and out to sit at his feet in the living room once again. But they were ahead of me and already went out to the living room. But I noticed Dr. Duncan's bedroom open for the first time. And that was part of our duties, is to clean up, make beds, change linens, fresh towels, and things like that. And it hadn't been done in his room because he was doing night duty and the door was closed usually. And the door was open and I knew it had to be taken care of. And so I went in to take care of it. And I thought, you know, I'd really much rather be out there with Baba, but I'm supposed to be doing this. And I kind of shot a glance through the door, I mean through the closed door of that room, thinking, well, Baba, you know I'm in here and I'd rather be out there, but I better do what I'm supposed to be doing. And so I did it very fast, and you know, just zip around. And Renee said I was chosen to do this because I was a slow housekeeper and not a good one at that. And this, I surely did this very fast. And so then by the time I was finished, Baba was on his way out the front door. And I'd missed out completely. So best I could do is hurry out the kitchen door and go out and stand there to wave to him. And so that's what I was doing. And Baba was by that time in the car, and he looks out the window and he says, motions like this to, for me to come up, to him, which I gladly did, and I leaned over and really close, and he was really close to me, and he just held my face in his hands like that and caressed my face. So I didn't miss out at all. And another, I'm going from one to another. Another story, too, was it's one of my favorite moments, is when we were in the barn together at Myrtle Beach, and it was a time when we were sitting on the floor in, near Baba. There were about 200 of us in the barn. And the Begin was being played. And I was, you know, in our family, we kind of moved together. It just so happened most of the time we were just kind of walking along together, sitting together. And my father was either right next to me, I think he was right next to me. And there's nothing unusual in that, right? But while the Begin was being played, when the words, we were listening to the words and all that, when the words were sung, and darling, I love you, Baba looked right at me. Yeah, he's looking at me. Darling, I love you. I mean, it's so romantic, so precious to tell me in that way that he loves me. Why is he, you know, out of all these people, he's looking at me? And I was quite taken by surprise, and it was just such a wonderful love glance, and so happy. And the thing is, while we were all with Baba, we were so wrapped up with our own individual experiences with Baba that we didn't think about telling each other our own inner these experiences, because the outer experience was there and we all knew there was an inner drama going on. It didn't seem necessary. It seemed like we were sharing everything there was to share already. Because in our hearts we were sharing. We were sharing Baba's love with each other in our hearts at a deep level. And that's all that was necessary. We didn't need to do anything more than that. So it wasn't until years later when I heard that that was my father's story. He can look at a lot of people at the same time. So, okay, how about some questions? Yes.
You said that in a variety of ways that Baba would give you heart's desire, and I'm wondering how you relate this to his also chipping away at the ego so that he puts one into positions of not getting one's heart's desire to chip away at the ego.
That's a very good question of how does Baba give one's heart's desire to one, and still, as we know, he chips our ego away. Well, I think he does both. I know he does both. They're full of contradictions. I don't pay any attention to contradictions with Baba. But to continue, I will qualify that. And that is, for me, I have found that when my heart's desire has been to love him, or my motive has been toward Baba, then my heart's desire is given. If it's a selfish motive or selfish desires, that's where I get my ego chipped away. Yes, Ned?
You talked about looking into Baba's eyes. He gave you a number of opportunities to do this, to look directly into his eyes?
Yes, quite a number.
Because he didn't do that to very many people.
I didn't know that. I never thought about it.
I mean, yeah, close range.
I mean, as this close, literally.
Yeah. That's how I found out who it was.
Yes. Yes. We just...
It didn't take very long either.
No, it doesn't. It's only one glance does it. Yes. We were all, I think in the early days, I'll speak for myself again, more preoccupied with our individual reactions, our individual relationship to Baba, of knowing who he is and what he was giving to us and our interchange with him. And I think it's not, for me, been till much later that I became more aware of Baba on a much broader scale. That my relation to Baba is just a little tiny island, or just a little part of what really happened. Not that it doesn't have its significance. It's a way of showing you and others how Baba worked with an individual and how he relates to people as an individual and how he cares and draws you close to him so that you can do the most impossible thing, as to surrender to him. But through the years, I have broaden my perspective to see Baba as the universal being that he is, and how he works in the totality of his whole life. And only now am I able to look at it as a broader perspective. It's the contrast again. Any other questions? Yes?
Could you tell the story of first meeting Baba last night?
Yes. This was part two.
We're selling the tape at a very high price.
Right.
Did Baba give you any orders that you carry with you today?
Yes, he did.
Oh.
Would you hand me that? The way you said that. No, the other one, please.
He said, when Chuck asks you that question, you give him this.
Yeah. Baba tossed this to me and said, keep this with you always. Now you know I carried that with me. You said, gave you any orders that you carried with you.
Well, that's what I meant.
What is it?
I don't know what it is.
It's an obscure order.
Doesn't it always remind you of
me? Oh, yes. It's actually, I think, a kind of a paperweight. I think it's a plastic. It's a plastic rectangle, and I don't know what the stuff is inside.
It's like quartz.
It's very beautiful. There's a story behind this.
I see. It's a mineral inside.
Yeah. Is it?
It looks like.
There's a geologist in the world. Right.
Later you can give me your analysis. I'll tell you this story if you don't go to sleep. He tossed this to me in San Francisco and said, keep it with you always. I'll start at the beginning. When I was a young child, until I was age 22, I had an eye condition known as alternating crossed eyes. And it made life rather difficult for me because it was difficult to read, it was difficult to play ball, play games, and socially, of course, it was uncomfortable. While I was working, I even had to change jobs because it was so uncomfortable and difficult to take a job where I didn't have to read. And I delivered telegrams for a while. So then, during the course of the time I was delivering telegrams, an engineer had seen me and gone to the head doctor at General Electric Company. And the head doctor called me in and he says, see here, you ought to have an operation on your eyes, and there's someone here who wants to pay for it, and would you consider it? And this was in 1956, and I said, I'll consider it, and I'm going on vacation very soon, and after I get back I'll let you know. And it was just before Baba was coming to the United States. And I knew Baba was coming to the United States. And I don't know whether it was before or at that point that in my miles and miles per day, I was starting to repeat Baba's name to myself. Because I wanted to be closer to Baba when the time came to be with him. And I thought that's a good way to prepare myself. So anyway, I thought, well, when I see Baba, I'll ask him about what I should do about my eyes. And so then I knew I was going to at some point. And then back to the Delmonico Hotel. We had seen Baba in Myrtle Beach first in 1956. And then we were up in New York with Baba. And this was at the same time when our Shaw family was there, and Baba was with us, and he was embracing us. And then he turns to me and he says, in Myrtle Beach, I'll tell you what to do about your eyes. Mm-hmm. And so then, when we were in Myrtle Beach, in the lagoon cabin, that's how it went. No, in Baba's house. He was giving everyone a tour through his house that one morning. And like the good host, he was at the door saying goodbye to us when we were leaving the house. And he stopped us again, and he looks at me and he says, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning in the lagoon cabin, come and we'll talk about your eyes. So we got into the cabin that morning and we sat down. And Baba said, now, tell me about your eyes. So I told him what the doctor had said and the offer and should I have an operation. And Baba went. And then he looked over at Dr. Nilu and he said, what do you think about that? And Dr. Nilu said, I think it's a good idea. And Baba said, go ahead and have the operation. Let the man pay for it. Have it in October. Say my name for 5 minutes before the operation. And that was it. And so then, still in 1956, when he tossed this to me in that room, I knew that he meant this to be in my hands for that time too. And when it was time for the operation, I had one chance in four, and certainly no chance at binocular fusion. But I had gone through Bates training and had studied fusion, so mentally I was prepared for fusion, two eyes seeing the same thing. So I had sent Baba a cable informing him of the date, and he sent a cable back saying, be brave in my love and my blessings. And the night before, the doctor comes and he clips off all my eyelashes, and he doesn't tell me what's going to happen or anything. And so after the operation, I had this in my hands before and afterwards. And it gave me such strength that I was able to get up out of bed, and I was able to, in the blindness that of bandages for 2 weeks, I had the strength of Baba's presence with me, and I had 3 more weeks of gradual seeing. And of course the operation was a success. I have binocular vision, and more than that, I had to wait till I was 22 to go through the inner operation that Baba performed. During that time, I had some inner experiences because I felt completely cut off, and all I had was Baba. But I had all those memories, all those inner movie reels of seeing Baba through all the times in 1956. And that's what I did all day. I wasn't very good company for anybody. I spent all my time with Baba. And afterwards, my mother was the first to notice. She said, you've changed. It was a deep inner operation of some kind in which I had crossed over to the point of no return, that I could never, never lead a life of such kind that I might have led before. That my life was more, not as though it weren't 100% dedicated to Baba, but there was no doubt, no question, this is it. Whatever it is, this is where I'm at. Baba is it, nothing else. So that's what happened. And so in 1958, when we first saw Baba and we went into the lagoon cabin, first thing he did to me was take a good look at me, like a doctor would, to see how good his work was. And he says, beautiful, very nice. So he was very pleased with his work, and so am I. And so that was another gift. He's giving us more gifts than we could possibly dream of asking for. But he made me wait for it, till it was the right time.
Thank you.
Say, Baba gave you that in California?
Yes.
Maybe it's California Redwood. I can't see from here.
I'm wondering if over the years you noticed. You're of course aware of the changes within yourself as these experiences would come to you, and I'm wondering if you saw your family, members of your family, traveling along in their own way, and would notice every so often, oh look, they're my parents and they're not the way I thought they used to be, what Bob has been with them, things like this. I'm wondering if that was part of your...
Well, when we... The times we were together with Baba, to me anyway, they stopped being parents, and I stopped being their kid. We were ourselves. That was pretty nice. Not that I didn't love my parents and that we didn't have a close family, but that was one thing Baba did. We always had a deep sharing, and that increased through the years. Yes, we shared some of our inner revelations, like, all of a sudden I figured this one out. Have you? Oh yeah, I know that one. And we, more, since I've been living in Las Cruces the past 14 years, it's when we do get together, we talk in that way, and sometimes over the phone. This is what I just figured out now, or this is what just now came to me. And they'd say, oh yeah, I just found that out too, or oh, that's a good one. And things like that, yeah. We're kind of... And I said to my sister last year when I visited her after having been to India, and I was telling her about the visit and all that, and she said, yes, I know. It's like we're all moving together on a wave. I thought that was very nice, nice way of putting it. In one way or another, each of us in our own unique ways, we're all moving together in his ocean of love. So, yes, as a family, we do kind of move along. But I think all of us, as Baba's family, move along too. I think that's probably about time, unless there's another question.
Okay. Thank you,
Jay. Jay.